Welcome to episode 502 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and George. You've been to Disney World or Disneyland, and now you're looking to branch out on your Disney journey. Well, try Disney Cruise Line. Disney Cruise Line offers some unique experiences that you cannot find on other cruise lines. And Donna was invited by Disney to check out the Disney Dream, and she's here to give us the scoop. So let's get started. So yay, you finally got on a Disney ship.
Woo-hoo. I did. I was supposed to go during the pandemic, but I had surgery instead. So
okay, well. It's always a good time to just revisit those things.
So. It is. So I finally, it was one of those like checklists off of my to-do list. So
nice. So did you have, I know this was like a kind of seminar at sea type thing. Did you have like classroom time and stuff too? Or
we did. So during the sail day, okay. We actually did meet in one of the dining rooms, and we had a slide presentation and everything. And they talked about most of the Disney trainings that I've been to, they really concentrate on what's new at the parks. And this one, they really took the time necessarily. They didn't even talk about the parks at all. They talked about Disney Cruise Line and what is new and what's coming up and all the exciting things, with Disney Cruise Line, and really what sets it apart, from other cruise lines. And that much was very apparent, in actually going there. And it's one of those things that, You have to experience it. And that's one of those, yes, it's a perk of our business and I really appreciate it. But at the same time, we also, there's a certain amount of decorum and everything that you have to have when you go to these things. And it is a business, it's a business trip.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. It's classroom time, you know?
It is, like, but I get to have a cocktail.
Nice. So let's talk about just the whole experience. Let's start with embarkation.
Okay. This is one of those things that I was not very happy about. So Disney, very much like the parks, they have mastered line control.
Yeah, they can move people.
They can move people, but they don't move them necessarily fast because it you've got to show all your IDs and everything. And the audience for Disney Cruise Line is a bunch of children. And so you're trying to get children to stay still and stay in the lines and not mess with the barriers and, you know, et cetera. It's a very slow process, especially if you're not a concierge guest or high up in the Castaway Club, which I'm not because this was my first trip. So I was in the very slow line and it started in the parking garage, not even in the port. Wow. There was a queue. There was like three queues set up in the parking garage, and you move through the queues in the parking garage before you even made it into the building.
Were you trying to get like early check-in? Were you trying to get on the ship pretty early?
I had signed up for 1 o'clock, which is, you know, it's not that terribly early.
No, that's not early at all.
Huh. No, but yes, I mean, and they had people, like I said, it was very, very slow. Mm-hmm. And that's where other cruise lines, I think, shine a little better is that, you know, you go into the port, you're basically walking right in the port and you basically, they've got so many people checking people in that it's a very, very fast process. So
what month did you cruise?
April, last month.
Okay. So you get through
all
that.
It was during spring break.
Oh, well, that's crowded.
Yeah, it is crowded, yes.
So you get through.
Yes, get through.
You're getting on the ship. What did you think of the ship?
They announce you as you get, basically you walk on the ship and they basically, the May party has arrived.
And they all clap.
The Johnson party has arrived, you know. Nice. And so they have all these, you know, they basically, they very, And that's just a little touch, a little fancy thing, but, you know, it was nice. The atrium was beautiful. Everything was gorgeous. They had a few characters out even during that, but it wasn't really meet and greet time. It was just they were there. Mm-hmm. They did have a... we had a sail away party, but the problem was is that it was pouring rain. And so mm-hmm. they actually had to move it inside. And so it was very, very, very crowded in the atrium.
Yeah, I bet.
So I think it would have been better off outside. But, of course, with it pouring, you can't do that. It's Florida.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you had mentioned before we started recording that the muster drill is a little old school. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. So before you get to, first of all, I kind of wandered a little bit and I figured out where the adult areas were. Because nice. Not that I don't necessarily not like children, but when I'm on a ship, I want quiet and I want to, run away.
And you weren't there with children. So.
And I was not there with children. So I found the adult areas. That was my mission. And so I actually, and I hadn't had any lunch. So I went up to the Lido deck. And this was one of the cool things. So they had the little, windows where you could basically, it was quick service kind of thing, counter service. And they had the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the pizza and the things like that. But at the hot dog stand, they also had bratwurst.
Oh.
Yes. And they had just come off the grill, and so they were hot and they were fresh, and it was one of the best bratwurst I've ever had.
Nice.
It was really, really, really good. So I like the fact that they had hot dogs, but they had bratwurst for the adults. That was kind of nice. So I went over to the adult pool and I sat down and had my bratwurst and went into the coffee shop and grabbed something to drink. And they had all little desserts, little finger sandwiches and things like that, that you could get at the coffee shop. And so that was like the perfect, just finish, just a bite. That's all I needed. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the muster drill. Now I was lucky enough that we were in the theater, and like I said, it was pouring rain. Disney still does the muster drill the old-fashioned way, where everybody has to show up at the same time. They give one presentation, and the poor people that were out on the deck got soaking wet.
I can't believe they're doing it that way after COVID.
Yeah,
well, they basically said that they want to, because it's kids and this is usually their first cruise that they've never been on, they want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And so they do it the old-fashioned way.
I did not realize they were still doing that.
Yep. And they don't, because they don't have with other lines, you actually can watch the video on your TV, and then you just go check in. But no.
And they'll show you how to put on the life jacket and everything, and then you just know where your muster station is. Yeah.
Exactly. So. And then, so I hung out the rest of the evening, and we had a little meet and greet at one of the bars.
Nice.
And we basically got to introduce ourselves and kind of went over the schedule of what our responsibilities were as far as meetings and et cetera. So that was nice. And I found the Skyline Bar. They had some really great craft cocktails. And it's part of what's interesting is that they have almost like a bar complex.
Yeah, it's like a bar crawl kind of.
It is. So they had the Skyline Bar, the 678 Bar, which I found out they called it that because that was what they were calling the ship when it was in the shipyard.
Hmm.
Before they named it was 678. That's all they, that was the name of it. And then Pink is the... champagne bar, and there's very subtle Disney things in the bar area, and so they had a light up elephant that was blowing bubbles like from Fantasia from Dumbo. They had a little LED elephant outline, and it was blowing bubbles, and the bubbles came up, and that was one of the bubbles that was the entrance to the champagne bar.
There's like a hidden Mickey that floats around in the bubbles too, isn't there?
That I don't know. I feel like they didn't tell us about that. So
okay. Yeah, you got to ask. Or you have to just kind of
see. Well, we did actually go on an Art Deco tour.
Oh, nice.
They were telling us about the little subtle details of the ships, but they didn't mention that.
They do put a lot of thought into that, like their design. Everything has a purpose, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
And so they were talking also, like one of the big things is that there was a, they were trying to design the ships originally, and they did not want to have a black ship because that was just too stark. Mm-hmm. So they found there was a lady on the Disney lot in Disneyland, in Disney Studios, and she was wearing this really dark, dark, dark blue suit. And she's like, he came up to her. He's like, I got to have your pants. And she's like, what? Mm-hmm. She's like, I got to have your pants. I need that color because that's the color. And now that's the color of the bottom of the ships.
Yeah.
And they wanted to create this whole very old, traditional
classic maritime. Classic. Yeah,
exactly. So they took, and the other thing is that the, lifeboats are yellow, and that is actually was not an approved color by the Coast Guard. So, I think it was Roy Disney basically petitioned and had to prove that you could see yellow lifeboats on the ocean with the same distance as the orange lifeboats. And when he did, he actually got to have his yellow lifeboats. And
it would look so weird with orange
lifeboats.
Really,
I know
they did that.
But it had to be Mickey yellow, so
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, of course it did.
So they petitioned the Coast Guard and got it approved that yellow is now a color, and you've seen it in other ships as well since then. So
okay.
Yep.
So what kind of cabin did you have?
I was in a deluxe family balcony. And one of the things that I found really, really, I mean, a balcony is a balcony is a balcony as far as ships are concerned. But what really made Disney stand out is that they have split the bathroom. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so they're right next door to each. They're basically two doors. As you're walking into the cabin, there's two doors. The first door is your toilet and a sink. So you can have one person in there. The second section is a toilet or a sink and a tub. I've seen tubs in the suites and things like that. And they're usually these big garden tubs with jets and things like that. But no, this was actually almost like a quarter size tub. You or I could not actually sit in it.
But when you have little kids.
But when you've got a little one whose legs, you know, are like, you know, 2 feet long, they can take a bath.
Yeah.
But it was really great because then I could also soak my scuba gear in the tub.
Nice.
So it was one of those, it was fun. It was really great that I could do that. But to find just a normal balcony cabin with a tub in it is actually pretty rare. And Disney has a lot of those.
Yeah.
So
did you have to share your cabin? Or
no, I did not. Oh, so nice. I had the cabin to myself, which was very nice. Cause I mean, sometimes you go on these trips and they make you share a cabin.
I had to share the first time I did. But the another thing about Disney though, is the beds don't separate. So it's just going to be a queen bed.
Can't
pull it apart.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Me either.
So they don't have that divide in it because it's families, you know, like it's
yep.
So your deluxe family balcony, was that one of the ones that had the fifth sleeper bed, like this?
No,
woman?
No. It was a 3-4.
Okay.
But like I said, it had the tub in it.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Yes.
And balcony. I mean, that's great.
And of course, a balcony. Yes.
Were you on the side that let you see Castaway Key when you were ducked?
Yes, nice. I was. You know, we don't get to pick them. They are assigned to us. But yes, I was able to see Castaway Key.
Nice. All right. So let's talk about the dining. What did you think of their setup for dining?
It's very interesting, and it's very unlike any other ship I've ever been on. The way Disney works is that you are assigned a table, okay? And you basically, instead of moving and the waiter moves or whatever, you actually physically move to different dining rooms every night. So the first night we were at the Royal Table, which is more of a French-inspired dining room. And that's the where I really saw the value in Disney. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Chateaubriand was on the menu. There was de confit. There was a lobster pasta. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting there. I even asked, I'm like, okay, you know, this is what's on my menu. Kids aren't going to eat this. What is this? And there was no kids menu. They're like, oh, they have their own menu. And it's got hamburgers and hot dogs and macaroni mm-hmm. and cheese and chicken tenders and things like that. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense then. Okay, because, yeah, this mm-hmm. is not what, you know, the kids are going to eat. Your sodas are included with your meals on the ship and everything. So that was pretty good. And then, of course, you know, wine and beer and everything is extra. And they do have a deal where you can buy, like, 3 bottles of wine and they will bring it with your meals. Like a almost like a bundle deal. So if you're a wine drinker, that's definitely a good way to go. But this is what really also set Disney apart. So I'm sitting there looking around the dining room, and at the table behind me, there are there's probably a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old. So they're, I mean, young kids, but not quite toddlers. The waitress was cutting up their dinner. Cutting up their chicken nuggets so mom could eat.
Yeah.
And that one right there, I'm like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. I get it. It's those little, like, things. So the next night, we went to the Animator's Palette. So Royal Table, like I said, is very French. Animator's Palette was very artsy. And so we get there, and on our plate is... we're supposed to color in a stick figure man kind of looking thing. And they have markers on the table, and you're sitting there and you actually color it in and you make it a face and everything. And then you give it to the waiter afterwards. And it's the same waiter from the night before. Yep. So the waiter moves with you. So you have the same wait staff all the entire time. And this one was a little more hodgepodge as far as meals. It was spaghetti and grilled chicken and things like that. A little more traditional American mm-hmm. fare. But at the end, towards the end of the evening, they actually took all of those drawings that everybody had done in the entire restaurant and uploaded them into a system. And they actually put on a video. And your little figures were dancing for your section of the restaurant. So you had television screens playing cartoons the entire time. But then towards the end of the meal, they played your own little video. And it was just a mishmash of Disney songs.
Yeah, that's a cute touch.
It is a cute touch.
Did they have Crush the turtle talking in there?
No, there was no talking. It was all just cartoons.
Okay.
So they were, playing some old cartoons that, you know, those of us have been around, we noticed, but then there were other ones where it's like, oh, all these new ones we didn't recognize.
I'd recognize them because I watch them all.
And then, I actually did a specialty dining, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. And then the last night we did the Enchanted Garden. And this really reminded me of when Mary Poppins went into the painting or into the sidewalk chalk art.
Mm-hmm.
Gazebos and flowers and very green. And the meals were... fish and light and a little more salad like and everything, but still very, very, very good. So one of the things they had on the menu was paella at this particular restaurant. So
Nice.
But yeah, it was really, really, really good. And I have a pepper allergy, and they were really good about making sure that there were no peppers in anything that I was eating. So it was fantastic.
Nice.
And then I did, like I said, it was my birthday, so I took myself to Palo for dinner.
Yum.
On my birthday.
Nice.
And that is the one part of the ship there is nothing Disney in the entire ship.
Oh, I'm sure that there's something hidden there.
No, they actually were very specific. So the restaurant is an Italian restaurant, and it has palo, meaning pole, and it's mm-hmm. actually their pictures of Venice all over the walls. Mm-hmm. And it's actually because the Disney Dream was built in Italy, it's a tribute to the Italian shipping company that built the ship. But that is the one room of the entire ship. There is nothing Disney in it. They were very, very specific about that. So we went there for dinner, and we had a couple of cocktails that actually came from the Meridian Bar, which is another adult only bar at the front of the ship. So you can actually overlook, you know, as you're going through your sailing. And the cocktail was fantastic. It was a Champort martini, and we had gnocchi, spinach gnocchi. And then I had for my entree osso buco, and it was the absolute best osso buco I have ever had. Nice. In my life. Highly recommend it. It's not exactly inexpensive. There is a $50 price fixed menu, but the thing is that I wanted things that were not on that price fixed menu.
So you upgraded, yeah.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, they always do have that option, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Nice.
And for dessert, I had an amaretto white chocolate souffle.
Cool.
So very, very, very fine dining, and the staff was amazing.
So is that bar the one that's kind of attached to Palo?
Yes, it okay. is. And then Remy is actually on the other side. So it's
right.
both sides. Remy and Palo are on each side of the ship, and then Meridian is in the middle.
So we did a martini tasting class up there in that bar mm-hmm. on one of our sea days. And they let us go behind the bar and mix up our own martinis and stuff too. It was cool.
And I noticed that, yeah, there's quite a few of those little tastings and for whiskeys, for vodkas, mm-hmm. things like that. There are a lot of those were offered on the app as extras.
Plenty of adult things to do.
Yes.
Fun.
But then, like I said, and then that night was the fireworks. Disney is the only cruise line that is allowed to do fireworks at sea.
Right, because they specially created some, right? That are
I don't know any details. I just know they are the only ones, and they are very, very proud of that fact.
Yeah. Was that Pirate Night?
It was Pirate Night.
Nice.
So there were lots of pirates running around.
Yeah. Nice. So what about, so you said it was raining the first day. Did you ever get to do the pool or the aqueduct?
No. But I did actually, I was a little early getting ready for dinner one night, and I actually wandered up onto the deck because I wanted a Dole Whip, but they were closed.
Yeah. Bummer.
I never did get my Dole Whip. But I had some time to kill, so I ended up watching one of the movies on the deck.
Fun.
Nice. So we were watching Coco.
I love Coco.
Me too.
Good one. Did you do any of the spa?
I did. So that's the even better part. So the night of my birthday, I get into my, I left Palo, and I showed up in my cabin, and there was a note on the door that gave me a discount to actually go to the spa. I was not planning on going to the spa.
That's how they get you.
But then I got this actually coupon. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I have to go now. So the day we were at Castaway Key, I actually booked myself a massage. And see, I didn't think Disney did the thermal pass because it never actually showed up on the offerings for mm-hmm. excursions and things like that. They do have a thermal pass that you can use, but it's not something that I would necessarily recommend because mm-hmm. they really don't have the space to really do it well. They had two like hot tubs, and then they had a couple of the heated loungers. They did have something that was interesting. They had these showers that you could push the button and it would have pulsing and sounds
like rainforest and stuff.
Rainforest yeah. and smells, and you know, so it was interesting, but I've been on some of the other lines. Mm-hmm. Thermal pass with Disney's probably not worth it.
Yeah, definitely take a look. They'll let you tour it before you decide if you want to do that. So,
I mean, the price was not bad, but at the same time, like I said, they just don't have a lot to offer because mm-hmm. they just don't have the space.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you see any of the shows?
I did. I saw the Golden Mickeys.
Okay.
The Golden Mickeys, it was really interesting because they were like the best hero and things like that. And so they had all these, again, old Disney cartoons and things that, you know, I hadn't seen since I was a kid.
We call those classic, not old.
Oh, I'm sorry. Classic Disney cartoons that I hadn't seen since I was a kid. So it was very nostalgic. Nice. But it was very well done, and it was enjoyable, and the woman that was a house manager, I guess, that was the lead role was very mm-hmm. entertaining. So it was fun. It was fun, and I think kids would have liked it as well.
Did you see the Beauty and the Beast show?
I did not, because that was the night of my birthday, and I had been scuba diving that day, and that really takes it out of you. After also eating a huge meal, I went to bed.
Visiting the spa, yeah. So just side note, that's an excellent show. And
very, very good things. So.
Really good. Yes. And then they do movies, not just on deck, but in the theater. They do movies too.
They do. Cool. And so they actually had two theaters. They had the main stage theater that they actually put on the productions, but then they also had, it was a almost like a movie theater where they actually had just a giant screen, and that's where they did the shopping demonstrations and all the stuff that they didn't need a lot of floor space for.
They also do first run movies, so if you happen to be there and there's a movie coming out, they're going to show the movie.
You would have to pay in the movie theater.
So that's pretty cool, I think.
Yep.
Did you meet any characters?
No, but I almost got ran over by Olaf.
Oh.
He was running down the hallway.
Was he trying to hug you?
I don't know. He was running past me, but he nearly knocked me over. So
wow.
If your child is really into meeting princesses and meeting characters and things like that, this is by far the best way to go. Because you go to the parks and you're going to wait in a line for an hour or two sometimes. Mm-hmm. This one, I think the lines were, usually most of them were 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And they had them on a very regular basis, so you could meet, you had multiple opportunities to meet the characters.
Right.
So it's definitely, if they're really heavy into meeting characters, this is definitely the way to go.
So you visited Castaway Key, their private island. Was that where you went scuba diving, or was that?
No, I went scuba diving in Nassau.
Okay. But so what'd you think of the island?
Castaway Key is really, it was interesting because in order to get, so I actually walked all the way back to the adult area. Mm-hmm. It's on a flight line.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what that island was used for before it became part of Disney.
I don't know. I never thought of it like that. Do they still do the 5K in the morning?
They do. Well, they do. Yeah. They have the 5K. Yeah. They've also got, you can also sign up and just walk it anytime during the day. They do have bicycles that you can quote, rent for the day. Mm-hmm. So you can do bicycling, and they had bicycle tracks and things like that as well that you could do. I had a little tip, though, that when I got to the adult area, I needed to go to the lunch place there and order the steak because they make fresh ribeyes. They cook them right there. So it was really thin, but it was good. And it's the only place on the island you can get ribs.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So you can't get ribs at the other stations.
So you got to go all the way to the...
the adult area, and you could have to be an adult in order to eat there. They don't let kids eat there.
Nice.
Yep.
That's awesome. So who do you think is the target audience for a Disney cruise?
Any family that has kids under the age of 7. I think once they hit about 8 or 9, they're kind of have a little bit too much attitude.
See, my kids were tweens, and they loved it. They were 11 and 13 when they went.
Definitely kids.
Yeah.
Under the, because it's Disney magic, you know. Yeah. Characters are there, and you're getting to, you know, eat really cool things and have, you know, play with Mickey and all, and have some really cool kids clubs and things like that. So definitely smaller kids, multi-generational families with smaller kids.
Mm-hmm.
Would definitely, and anybody who's a big Diz nerd, you know, that it's like bleeds the mouse. It's like, yeah, you definitely need to go on a Disney cruise line.
Yeah. Agreed. I would say kids of all ages though, all the way up. I mean, I think getting into older teens might be a little bit jaded, but the younger ones, they do a lot of fun things with that age group.
My 9-year-old usually was very jaded. Both of them, so they would have been, yours might have been fine, but mine would have been over it.
Yeah, Fox loved it. It was actually like where he kind of branched out and got some independence, going to that teen, or yeah, I guess he was in the teen club, and just kind of took off and left us and was, you know, he got that first taste of it.
Yeah, my 9-year-old, really, when I took her on a cruise, was like, ditched us. So
well, then yeah, she probably would have liked the kids club then. Okay, so did they talk about stuff that's coming next, not necessarily with the Dream, but with Disney Cruise Line?
They did. So the biggest thing is, there's two biggies. They've got a new ship coming out called the Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And the really hot thing that is actually going to be on the Treasure is a bar based on the Haunted Mansion.
That's going to be awesome.
And they're really cool. They said when it first opens in the first couple of sailings, you're going to have to sign up for a wait list, basically to get into the bar, because everybody's going to want to go there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
And then the other biggie is, in the Bahamas, they actually purchased another plot of land, and they're going to be opening Lookout Cay at Lighthouse Point. And that is supposed to, I just looked, and it looks like it's supposed to be opening next summer.
It's opening this summer.
Nitra's
going. Yeah, Nitra's going to be on. Going
there you go.
So we'll be up. We'll stay tuned. We'll be back with more for that.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Well, one of the biggest obstacles that most people have with Disney is the price tag. And that's one of those big humps. So the suggestion is basically to plan as far out as you can. Because it is actually worth it. And there are those little extras, like, you know, the waitress cutting your child's meat for you, and all the character meet and greets and things like that. And the food is amazingly good. It really, really does put the other cruise lines to shame. So it is worth the cost, but push it out as far as you can. And then that way it doesn't, you know, it's not quite as...
I would venture to say, if you have priced a Disney World, Walt Disney World land vacation, and compare to everything you get on the cruise line, it might It might be a bit comparable, actually. Well, you think and of everything with, at the land.
With all these new ships that the other companies out, the other cruise lines have put out, their prices mm-hmm. have been creeping up. And actually, Disney has actually I've priced them versus Disney, and Disney's actually come in under. So
yeah, some of them have been.
Some of them have priced themselves out
It'll only help as Disney puts more ships out there too, because when they only had four ships, they were never, you know, like it was just really.
Yes. And that was the other thing. There's more competition. So that always helps the price.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely price it out. If you're trying to decide between land and cruise, we could definitely look at that, because when you start throwing in Genie Plus, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna and George and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.